Credit Consultants Certification Training Manual by the Credit Consultants Association. Introduction. Why a credit restoration business? Credit restoration is entering a boom cycle and will stay there for the next several years, and here is why. There has been a great demand since credit requirements for mortgage loans tightened significantly. It used to be that a credit score of 680 was sufficient for a stated income loan. Now, the minimum credit score is 720, and in most cases, you may never find a lender willing to offer this type of loan anymore. A large number of business owners need to go stated because they write off as much income as possible so that little or no income is reported on tax returns. The flood of foreclosures in the few past years and at least a year into the future makes the credit repair business even timelier. Foreclosure consumers typically have many other bills they fail to pay. The mortgage is the last item that doesn't get paid. All those negative accounts will affect credit reports for 7 years. These people are going to need to improve their credit before trying to finance the purchase of another home or auto in the future. Bad credit costs money. A bad credit score is expensive. The public is probably not aware of how much this cost can add up to over time. In many cases, it could be over $1 million. That's right, over seven figures. If you have a bad credit, the additional money you pay for things like mortgages, car loans, and insurance, compared with those with good credit scores, can be six figures over a 30-year period. Now, if that money is invested wisely, that number could rise to more than $1 million. Here is how bad credit costs your client in more ways than you imagined. Mortgage. One obvious place that bad credit hurts you is the interest rate you must pay when you purchase a house. The average price for a home, as of January 2016, is $365,700. A 30-year, $300,000 loan for someone with a credit score of between 760 and 850 carried a 6.346% APR. Someone with a credit score of between 500 and 579 would have a 10.152% APR. That would mean that a person with a good score would have a monthly payment of $1,866, while the person with the bad credit score would pay $2,666, or $800 a month more, for the same house. That adds up to $288,000, over the 30 years, of the loan. Auto loans. Edmunds.com says that the average car loan is $24,864. Just think, an auto loan for a person with good credit, defined as a score of between 720 and 850, would carry a 7.221% APR, while someone with bad credit, a score between 500 and 589, would have to pay a 14.909% APR. That works out to a difference of $88 a month, which comes to $3,168 over the 3 years of the loan. The average person keeps their car for 4.5 years. That means, if each person financed a new car every 5 years, it would cost the person with bad credit $19,008 more in car financing over 30 years than someone with good credit. Credit cards. Let's assume, for example, that both the people with good and bad credit both carry the median credit card debt of $2,200 over 30 years. If the person with good credit had an interest rate of 9%, and the person with bad credit had an interest rate of 20%, the person with bad credit will pay an extra $7,260 over a 30-year period. Lost interest. If the person with good credit took the difference and invested that money in an account that earned 8% compounded annually for 30 years, he or she would have well over $1 million saved. In fact, investing the $800 difference in the cost of the mortgage alone would be worth $1.2 million. Insurance. All types of insurance, auto, health, homeowners, will likely cost more for a person with bad credit than one with good credit. Insurance companies know that people with bad credit make more claims than those with good credit and therefore are more of a risk to insure. If your credit score is taken into account on any of your insurance rates, an individual with bad credit will pay more than a comparable individual with good credit. Job. You may lose out on a better job due to bad credit. More and more employers pull your credit report when you apply for a job, because many see a risk in employing a person with bad credit. The same can be true with promotions. For example, people in the armed forces may not be able to get clearance for classified documents in areas due to bad credit, therefore blocking potential advancement. Housing. Many apartment managers will run a credit check on prospective tenants. If your credit is poor, you may be denied a unit due to the risk that you may not be able to pay. Deposits. If you have bad credit, you may need to leave a deposit, or a larger deposit, with certain companies that you would not need if you had good credit. Utility and cellular phone companies sometimes ask for deposits with people that have less than stellar credit. Health. In addition to all the financial aspects, where bad credit will hurt you, it could also adversely affect your health. It's not difficult to imagine that a person who has to pay a couple of $100,000 more for the same house as a neighbor down the street could have some financial stress in their life. This stress can affect a person, both mentally and physically, if the bad credit is constantly a source of fighting in the house. Bad credit is no longer a situation that can be isolated from other areas of your life. The trend is only growing stronger. Consumers must take the time to make the effort to keep their credit in good standing. It will pay off with more money in your pocket and less stress in your life. This is why, as a certified credit consultant, your profit will soar during this current financial period. We predict that there will be tons of millionaires created over the next 10 years with the title of board-certified credit consultant. Before repairing your client's credit, I'm sure that you are very excited about starting this course on learning how to repair your client's credit. But, before you begin, you should know some important facts. Your FICO credit score is the most important factor in getting the best interest rates, saving money, than just simply removing items off your client's credit report. Please see Chapter FICO Scores in Section 3. The magic number you need is a score of 720, more so 740 now, and it's possible to get there in a short period if you apply the knowledge in this book. This introductory primer will teach you how to concentrate your efforts on increasing your client's credit score first, rather than simply repairing your client's credit. The other section of this book will concentrate on expert credit repair tactics as well as detailed information regarding your client's credit score. Here are points to consider. Concentrate your efforts on entries in your client's credit report that are less than 2 years old. Some things are not that important to challenge when attempting to increase your client's credit score. But we do challenge them as a strategy to have other items removed. Such as personal information, e.g. address, employment, birthday are not important to your client's credit score. Tip. If you see a different name or social security number on your client's credit report, take notice. They could be a victim of identity theft and must make it a high priority to look into this matter and to have these items removed. Important items are as follows. Collection accounts less than 2 years old and duplicates collection accounts. Some collection accounts are reported twice and that is totally illegal. Make challenging this one of your highest priorities. Other duplicate items. Accounts that do not belong to you should be a high priority. Credit card limit being reported correctly should be a high priority. Important, reduce the balance of your client's credit cards to 30% and below your client's credit limit. However, the optimum percentage is 1 to 10%, with 1% providing the highest score. If you have a credit card with a $5,000 limit, your balance reported to the credit bureau should be $1,500 and under in order to have an excellent credit score. If you go over this amount, it will affect what is called your utilization rate. Credit score formulas respond favorably to a utilization rate of 30% and below. It is a good idea to review all of your clients' credit cards and align them correctly with this formula. Use the form in the appendix, section 5. Please note, if they have an American Express card or card with no preset limits, they will be rated on the highest credit charged and the 30% rule still applies. Have them try using the card to increase their high credit limit by spending more with the card with cash they were already going to use. Get that limit up to a ratio that will keep them within 30% of that high credit. This is why you may have clients who pay their credit cards off in full each month without great credit scores. Explanation: the two major components accounting for about two-thirds of the total credit score are payment history and amounts owed. Payment history tells how well you have met your obligations over the years. The amount owed is a snapshot of your indebtedness right now. If your client's credit history is short, their current indebtedness can be the most important factor determining their credit score. How do FICO credit scorers determine whether consumers are living beyond their means? They compare the outstanding debt on each of their accounts with the maximum amount of debt that the credit grantor has set for them on that account, credit limit. As mentioned above, this generates a set of utilization rates for each of their accounts. For example, if a client has two credit cards with maximum balances of $4,000 and $5,000, and the actual balances are $3,000 on both cards based on the most recent date of record, the utilization rates are 75% and 60%. The higher the utilization rates, the lower the FICO score. Important: clients should not open more lines of credit. This will hurt their score because FICO has a strong distaste for multiple new accounts in a short period of time, which can be an indicator of financial distress. Consumers should be aware of potential problems in connection with the utilization rates that affect their credit scores. The data on debt balances as reported by credit grantors isn't always correct. Furthermore, for various reasons, some credit grantors do not always report the maximum limit revolving accounts. Where no maximum is reported, the highest balance ever reported on the account is used. Since the highest balance is below the maximum and often substantially below it, this creates higher utilization rates too. See number 4. Paying bills on time and credit cards off each month does not mean you will have a high credit score. However, it is important to pay your bills on time. Make sure that the credit bureaus are reporting the correct credit limit on your clients' credit cards. Credit card companies have a dirty secret: they will report a lower limit or no limit at all in your clients' credit report to keep other companies from attempting to lure them away. This will totally affect your client's credit score because of the 30% utilization rule. What can you do? Challenge this with the credit card company and then send the same letter to the credit bureau. Watch for this in your client's credit report. Your client's credit report must have a mixture of accounts to have a great score. For example, they need at least 3 to 4 revolving accounts listed in their credit report. Also, an active installment account, e.g., mortgage, car loan. If they have an inactive installment, that's okay, but for an optimum score, it is best that they have had an active installment account within the last 2 years. Closing credit card accounts will lower credit scores in the short run. Credit card companies will close an account if it is inactive for 18 months. Also, please note that credit scorers like to see deep credit roots, accounts over 5 years. This will definitely raise scores greatly. So old good accounts are needed to get that high score. Before collection accounts are paid, negotiate to receive a letter of deletion. Start to clean up items on your client's credit report that directly affect their score. Note that all marks do not affect scores when they are older than 2 years. You can advise your client to call a creditor who is reporting them late to request a good faith payment adjustment. This can pay off, especially if a client has never been late before. Manage your client's credit. Now you can use this credit consultant certification training manual in full to attack your client's credit problems. Tip: important notice. When performing credit repair, you must consider two things, temporary and permanent deletions. If you dispute an item in your client's credit report, and the company does not respond within 30 days, the credit bureau will remove the item from your client's credit report. However, this could be a suppression or temporary deletion rather than permanent. Why? Well, companies get bogged down in paperwork and do not get a chance to respond. Therefore, the item is removed and not deleted. But if they catch up with their paperwork in 60 to 90 days, the entry can reappear on the credit report. You should remind clients to keep an eye on their credit reports. FICO scores rebuket. Tip. This is extremely important. Here is an example. Let's say you have a TransUnion score of 640. You have a 6-year-old collection account and a 3-year-old closed account with delinquency as early as 4 years ago. You also have 3 to 4 accounts in good standing and opened within the last 4 years. No matter what you do, you can't get that score above 640. Suddenly you write a letter to a collection company and are able to have that negative account removed. You will expect that score to move up, but bang, it drops to 635. You will be left wondering what was happening. Well, you have been rebuketed, which is actually a good thing. When that collection dropped, that was the only collection you had, and you are currently sitting in a group of other individuals who also have no collections, but they too have delinquent accounts. Their late accounts aren't as recent as yours, so you have one of the lowest scores in the group. But the members of this group are constantly changing, and your reports are suddenly looking much better than the newcomers, and you suddenly see a boost to 654. 3 months pass and your negative accounts are aging, therefore your good accounts have hit a milestone or reached a birthday metaphorically, and the score has been boosted to 670. In this case, you are one of the best of your group, but you still have late accounts that you are current on. Your old late accounts have dropped because your 90 days late becomes 60, the 60s become 30s and they are less hurtful. You will be sitting pretty well with a score of 740. One day, your last reported late account drops off. Your good accounts are all much older, around 5 years or more, and you have no bad accounts. You will get rebuketed again too, maybe, 785. You won't believe your eyes. Basically, with the collection showing, you won't make it to that next bucket. With late accounts showing, you won't make it into the next bucket. Once they are cleared, your score will move up. This is why a score can remain the same for a few years now. I do know that two buckets next to each other share some of the same scores. Because each has around 30 points in either direction, you can actually get a lower score when you enter a higher bucket. But being at the next level allows you to move up and past that old score much faster. The rebuke change? In general, the changes were geared towards making clearer distinctions between good credit risks and bad. The penalties for occasional slip UPS in making timely payments will be reduced, while those who repeatedly make late payments will see their scores fall more. People who are close to their limits on credit cards are now seeing lower scores. Those who successfully manage a variety of loans, such as having a mortgage, a car loan, and credit cards at the same time, are rewarded for their good behavior. In addition, other specific rules became more important under the new system. Being more than 90 days late on a payment was already a no-no, but you make a habit of it, you'll see your score drop as a result. On the other hand, you might get away with single delinquent accounts if you have other loans whose payments are up to date. Also, simply applying for credit too many times used to lower your score, but doing so now doesn't cause you as much grief. Why the changes? The FICO score rule changes fit well into the context of the mortgage crisis and the ensuing credit crunch. While it initially appeared that only subprime borrowers, the poorest credit risks, would have a problem repaying loans, mortgage delinquency rates rose even among more creditworthy borrowers. It's clear that many lenders have realized that they made bad decisions in judging their customers' risk of default. Those decisions were, at least in part, probably due to reliance on FICO scores that may not have accurately assessed that risk. It's likely that FICO merely responded with changes it believed would address the shortcomings of the old score. For borrowers, however, the score changes could be a pain in the neck. But the jury's still out on how big an effect the changes will have. There are some examples in which scores are moving as much as 25 points in either direction, so there will certainly be some people who'll feel the pinch, especially in the critical middle of the score range where small changes can make a dramatic impact on borrowing rates and credit availability. However, changes to the scoring rules were inevitable. Once borrowers figured out how to game the system by getting someone with better credit to name them as an authorized user, Fair Isaac, the corporation now known as FICO, had little choice but to eliminate that tactic as a factor in credit scores. Furthermore, new competition from a joint venture put together by the three credit rating agencies is forcing Fair Isaac to defend the supremacy of its FICO score with a lawsuit, despite its causing particular friction with Equifax. Some borrowers will complain, but just as the IRS acts when too many people take advantage of a tax loophole, you can't expect FICO score loopholes to stay open forever. What to do? None of these rule changes really affects how you can get good credit. Stop yourself from overusing your credit cards and don't let stores talk you into taking new cards for a quick discount if you won't get them paid off quickly. If you've had a good credit in the past, just keep doing what you've done, and you can still expect a score that's good enough to keep your rates down. And while those who are trying to make up for poor credit decisions in the past may see the score change as a bump in the road, staying on track by paying down debt and making on-time loan payments is still the best way to improve your score in the long run, no matter how they calculate it. Credit Bureau Policy Changes. / Effective March 8, 2015 Changes to Bureau's Polices. The implementation of the changes to the Credit Bureau Polices will be rolled out in three phases, with three different completing dates, one each phase. The completion dates for the three phases are 6 months, 18 months, and 39 months after the effective date. Phase 1, September 8, 2015. These changes are more administrative nature and don't require a tons of programming or training to successful implement. This phase was announcement of the retirement of the older Metro 1 credit reporting format. It means that newly opened accounts reported to the Credit Bureau must also include the authorized user's date of birth, if there is one. The Credit Bureau will not be able to refuse to accept a dispute from a consumer simply because he or she hasn't recently obtained a copy of their credit report. The Credit Bureau must not create the impression that the consumer must obtain a copy of their credit report before they can file a dispute. The credit bureaus will implement processes to identify and then process consumer disputes that warrant escalated handling. There will be nothing that discourages credit bureau employees from escalating disputes. If the consumer submits a dispute with supporting documentation and the credit bureau do not modify the credit entry as a result of the dispute process, the credit bureaus will assign an agent to review the documentation with discretion to act upon the documents and make changes to the consumer's credit report on the basis of the documentation. Phase 2, September 2016. These changes involve creating new internal policies around sharing information across the three agencies. Changes on how collection agencies may report information of any kind to their database. Collectors must continue to furnish the name of the original creditor and type of business that the original creditor is engages in to the credit bureau. Collections that do not comply with these requirements will be rejected by the credit bureau and can have their data suppressed and no longer accepted by the bureaus. Finally, any collections reported to the credit bureaus related to the collection of debt that did not arise from a contract or agreement to pay will be systemically removed from the credit bureau's databases. Instruct collection agencies on the use of codes used to clearly identify medical collections that are being paid or paid by insurance and instruct collection agencies to remove or suppress medical collection that have been paid by insurance. To not report things that was not the obligations of the consumer. Credit bureaus will implement a process to share information with each other about consumers who disputed inaccurate trad liens that are being reported with a deceased indicator and that the consumers have verified that they are not deceased. CRAs will provide consumers the right to request an additional free copy of their credit report from annualcreditreport.com during the same 12 months if they initiate a dispute instead of waiting another 12 months to get a copy. CRAs will update their website and annualcreditreport.co to include education content regarding the dispute process and the type of documentation that would be helpful to include in the consumer's dispute. Phase 3, June 8, 2018. This is referred to the completion date. These changes include policy overhaul supported by a considerable amount of programming. The credit bureau will require collection agencies to reconcile collections that have not been paid in full. This reconciliation will result in the periodic removal or suppression of all collections accounts that have not been updated by the collection agency within the prior 6 months. Fully require the older Metro 1 credit report format and only accept information from companies that are using Metro 2 registered trademark credit report format. The credit bureau will prevent the reporting of any medical collections that are less than 180 days from the date of the debt first went delinquent. The credit bureaus will remove or suppress all medical collections that have been paid or are being paid by insurance. The credit bureaus will prohibit the reporting of authorized user credit card accounts without a date of birth, month and year, on newly opened accounts. Except for disputes submitted by credit repair companies, the credit bureaus will not deny consumers the right to submit one additional dispute just because they had already filed one previously in the prior 3 years and the consumer submits supporting documentation with their new dispute. When the CRA receive a notice from another CRA that a consumer has a mixed credit file, they will conduct an investigation into whether or not that consumer has a mixed credit file in their database and if so, take steps to correct the mixed file condition. After the credit bureaus complete an investigation pursuant to the consumer dispute, the CRAs will provide the consumer a notice, standardized across the CRAs, that will explain the following. The action taken by the CRA regarding the dispute. Contact information of the creditor/collector involved in the dispute. The results of the dispute, including any modification or deletion of the dispute item. The consumer's options if they are not satisfied with the investigation results, including the right to redispute the item and include supporting documents. Assuming everything goes as planned, once these changes have been fully implemented, consumers should notice a considerable easier process to have a legitimate credit report errors corrected. The credit repair companies will benefit great from these changes even though most consumers will not have a clue about these policies. The credit bureaus may actually benefit more than anyone. Their credit file will be more accurate, consumer will be less likely to sue them and regulators will less likely to fine them for non-compliance. / update as of February 2017. What is currently apparent? We have noticed this new credit score model has not happened yet after all of this time with any other bureau except TransUnion in some cases. Equifax stated that they will not allow FICO to apply this model to their data, and we haven't noticed the change in Experian either. Experian at this point has its own scoring system called Vantage Score that we will discuss later. Whenever someone in the media requests information from a credit reporting agency as to if they will permit this model, their response is quite ambiguous. Why we believe that model is illegal pursuant to the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA. You can take the time to review the provision and the act and notice the following. 6. Credit history. To the extent that a creditor considers credit history in evaluating the creditworthiness, in evaluating an applicant's creditworthiness, a creditor shall consider I. the credit history, when available, of accounts designated as accounts that the applicant and the applicant's spouse are permitted to use. As it stands now, the law clearly states that any account which an applicant is permitted to use must be considered. Their authorized user accounts should be part of this provision. Considering lawsuits that may follow, it appears that modification to the scoring system has not and probably will not happen. Maybe it was just a way to slow down the business interest of selling trade lines and many believed that it caused the subprime debacle. So, as of now, adding Trata liens to a credit report is still a great way to build one's credit score if we take our reference from the ECOA. / update as of June 2017. The Department of Education issued a bulletin noting that TransUnion has announced that it will reintroduce their student data for all consumers effective June 1, 2017. This hasn't been done for years. What does this mean and how it can affect you or your clients? If the student loan data is positive, your client's credit score could rise. However, derogatory data may decrease a credit score drastically. In addition, they will send alerts if one have a credit monitoring service. We know that this may catch consumers off guard, especially if they are planning to purchase a home or some other purchase. But be on notice and alert your clients that student loans that were not appearing on their credit report will suddenly appear. /Update as of July 2017. As part of its National Consumer Assistance Plan, the result of a settlement brokered with 31 state attorneys general back in 2015, Equifax, Experian and TransUnion have significantly reduced the amount of tax lien and civil judgment information found in consumer credit files. If judgment was on a client's report and now deleted, it is because of this purge. This began on July 1, 2017. Public record data collected for credit reporting purposes, including bankruptcies, civil judgment, and tax liens, must contain minimum identifying information and be collected at more frequent intervals as follow. Minimum reporting of name, address and SSN and/or date of birth, and minimum frequency of courthouse visits to obtain newly filed and updated public records at least every 90 days. The changes to public records had a huge impact on consumer reporting databases. Also, over half of the tax liens reported are no longer being reported. Certification training. The Credit Consultant Certification Training Manual is divided into 5 sections for your convenience. This guide is designed for a newbie to the credit service industry and also prepares experienced consultants for the exam. Whenever you need information on credit, go to the section that deals with the subject on which you are seeking information. Read the section and apply the respondent technique. If you read this book cover to cover and keep up with all updates and nuances of the credit service business and industry, located at www.credithelpdesk.org, you will know pretty much what experts know and will make money assisting others. Before you start repairing credit, go to the Help Desk knowledge base and read 3 categories: strategy, dispute, and others/general sections. This will provide you some additional distinctions in resolving credit issues and processes. Also, our main membership area has additional training tools. Please note, this entire book should be used as a reference guide. You do not have to read cover to cover to pass the Certified Credit Consultant exam. You will only be tested on credit repair information in Section 1, Section 3, and Section 5, e.g. credit scores and repair techniques and the legal organizations that govern the industry. Section 1 will teach you how to correct your client's credit just like an expert. This section is filled with action strategies and explains the whole untold story concerning credit repair. As a certified credit consultant, you can make a great living applying the techniques contained within this section. Please note that you want to be truthful with dealing with your clients. Why? Sometimes, these techniques don't always work. Your goal will be to assist them in increasing their credit score. Do not make promises that you cannot keep. You will first find out what is their goal and put a plan together to get them there. If you do this, there will be a healthy supply of word-of-mouth clients. Keep in mind that all of the techniques listed in this guide have worked for some individuals, even if the techniques are ruthless or bizarre. However, we do not recommend all of the techniques contained within this manual, simply because there is a question of ethics. Nevertheless, we feel you deserve to know all of the techniques available for the sake of knowledge. We just want you to be aware of all the so-called legal techniques that can be used on your client's behalf. Section 2 is jam-packed with strategies that will show you how to establish and re-establish credit for your clients. You will learn the secrets to getting credit for the first time, even if your client has ruined their credit. You will learn how creditors evaluate customers and you will have the ability to improve your client's chances of getting the credit they so deserve. Section 3 is the meat of this book. You will learn all about how to obtain a mortgage, How to teach your client to handle their money to prevent a financial disaster, such as managing your financial affairs and how to prepare a home budget. You will also learn how you can handle a financial crisis by reducing your client's debts. If all else fails and you are not able to resolve your client's financial problems, we have included thorough information concerning straight bankruptcy and wage earner plans. Section 4 deals with information every certified credit consultant should know. Section 5 is your action section. Procedural information on operating your credit consultant business, sample business plan, contracts, forms and sample letters, you will use to restore credit. Can I create a new credit ID? You've probably seen the ads, legally create a new credit file. For a fee, they will sell you the know-how so that you, too, can legally create a new credit file, supposedly, so that you can obtain loans and credit cards and overcome your bad credit rating. Here is the question, can you really create a new credit file? We have to be honest and give the answer yes, technically. But it's illegal, and you could go to jail. Others will say no, but I've seen this done successfully. However, again, if you get caught, you could go to jail. You don't have to pay anyone to tell you how you can create a new credit identity, because I'm going to tell you how it is done, free of charge, right now. When you apply for a credit card, loan, or any type of financing, you are asked for your social security number. Your social security number is the main way that the three credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion and many creditors and employers, etc., keep track of you and separate your client's credit file and personal information from everybody else's. Therefore, to create a new credit identity or file, one would need a new social security number. Since it is almost impossible to get a new social security number from the Social Security Administration, those who sell create a new identity information advise you to apply to the federal government for an employer identification number, EIN, or taxpayer identification number, TIN, and use that number in place of your social security number when you apply for a loan or credit card. There is a problem with doing this, in that it is a felony to lie on a credit or loan application. If you decide to try this, the mortgage lender or whomever you try to defraud will likely catch it, and if they do, they have the right to turn the whole matter over to your local district attorney for prosecution. First offenders convicted of bank fraud usually get a 2-year prison sentence. Most of the people who sell create a new credit identity information are possibly scam artists. If they are not, they are usually ignorant to the fact that they are breaking the law. They are in violation of the Credit Repair Organizations Act, federal legislation that bars anyone from claiming that consumers can create a new credit identity. In fact, several years ago, the Federal Trade Commission went after many sellers of this information and shut them down completely. This is not a good idea. It is best to fix your own credit, instead of taking the risk of becoming a felon. Can bad credit be deleted? A few years ago, CNN repeated a 2-minute story about credit restoration and credit repair companies. At that time, Jody Bernstein of the Federal Trade Commission, FTC, passionately discouraged those seeking assistance through a credit repair company, "Don't do it. Don't give them any money. They're lying to you." She continued, "Only time will cure a credit record that contains adverse, but accurate credit information." At last, a news correspondent stood somewhere in a cold, Washington, D.C. afternoon and informed consumers that their bad credit would have to stay on their credit records for at least 7 years. For the next week, we watched as news story after news story, article after article, barraged the American consumer proclaiming that nothing can be done about bad credit and that time is the only antidote to bad credit. We were quite familiar with these catchphrases. We had seen them before on propaganda literature written by the credit bureaus themselves. Despite the fervent proclamations of bureaucrats and credit bureaus everywhere, a simple fact remains: negative credit listings are deleted from people's credit reports by the thousands each and every day. The proof is clear. Ultimately, you, too, will see for yourself that bad credit can be restored. What the credit bureaus don't want you to know is that you can restore bad credit in much less time than 7 years. It's not necessarily easy or foolproof, but the right to challenge and improve your client's credit is yours. The bottom line? Those saying that you cannot repair credit are doing so because of profits. This is why you get those negative comments, "You cannot repair your client's credit. Just do it." Federal law. This training manual relies, for the most part, on the Fair Credit Reporting Act, FCRA, for the basis of the dispute procedure. In sum, the FCRA gives you the right to dispute anything that you believe is not accurate or verifiable. At that moment, the responsibility shifts to the credit bureaus and the creditor who listed the information to prove otherwise. FACT Act, amending the FCRA. The Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act of 2003, FACTA, ensures that all citizens are treated fairly when they apply for a mortgage or other form of credit. It is still the same here in 2016. This legislation provides consumers, companies, consumer reporting agencies, and regulators with important tools that 1. Expand access to credit and other financial services for all Americans, 2. Enhance the accuracy of consumers' financial information, and 3. Help fight identity theft. These reforms made permanent the uniform national standards of our credit markets and instituted new, strong, consumer protections. Background. The Fair and Accurate Credit Transactions Act is an amendment to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, FCRA, that accomplished the following key priorities to help ensure that all Americans, of every income level and background, are able to build good credit and confront the problem of identity theft. Ensuring that lenders make decisions on loans based on full and fair credit histories, and not on discriminatory stereotypes. In 1996, uniform national standards were established to set clear rules on what credit agencies were entitled to include in individual credit reports, and now more than a million Americans have credit as a result. FACTA made these national standards permanent. Improving the quality of credit information, and protecting consumers against identity theft. Giving every consumer the right to their credit report free of charge every year. Consumers are now able to review a free report every year for unauthorized activity, including activity that might be the result of identity theft. Helping to prevent identity theft before it occurs by requiring merchants to leave all but the last 5 digits of a credit card number off store receipts. This makes sure that slips of paper that most people throw away do not contain their credit card number, a key to their financial identities. Creating a national system of fraud detection to make identity thieves more likely to be caught. Previously, victims would have to make phone calls to all of their credit card companies and to 3 major credit rating agencies to alert them to the crime. Now consumers only need to make 1 call to receive advice, set off a nationwide fraud alert, and protect their credit standing. Establishing a nationwide system of fraud alerts for consumers to place on their credit files. Credit reporting agencies that receive such alerts from customers are now obliged to follow procedures to ensure that future requests are by the true consumers, not identity thieves posing as the consumers. The law also enables active duty military personnel to place special alerts on their files when they are deployed overseas. Requiring regulators to devise a list of red flag indicators of identity theft, drawn from the patterns and practices of identity thieves. Regulators are now required to evaluate the use of these red flag indicators in their compliance examinations of financial institutions and to impose fines where disregard of red flags has resulted in losses to customers. Requiring lenders and credit agencies to take action before a victim even knows a crime has occurred. With oversight by bank regulators, the credit agencies were required to draw up a set of guidelines to identify patterns common to identity theft and to develop methods to stop identity theft before it can cause major damage. This legislation gave consumers unprecedented tools to fight identity theft and continued access to the most dynamic credit markets in the world. With a free credit report and powerful new tools to fight fraud, consumers now have the ability to better protect themselves and their families. Also, The FACT Act requires credit bureaus to notify consumers within 5 days if previously disputed items that were unverified and removed from their records show up again at a later date. One way for items to reappear in your credit report after they were removed is during updates of information that is reported from creditors to the credit bureau. Along with all other experts, we feel that the expense of printing and postage alone is an incentive for credit bureaus to take steps to prevent deleted items from showing up in your credit file again. Wrong or unverifiable. The Fair Credit Reporting Act, including FACTA, requires that any listing that is found to be inaccurate, unverifiable, or obsolete must be removed from your client's credit report. Very often, the creditor who reported the listing cannot or will not verify the listing, and the listing is removed. Also, our evidence shows that credit bureaus do not always process the dispute letters and prefer to simply delete disputed items. By whatever means, users of the Credit Consultant Certification Training Manual have maintained an excellent success rate in getting negative items deleted. In America, everyone is entitled to a defense. In a court of law, a prosecutor cannot charge you with a crime and refuse to prove their case. Neither can the credit bureaus. Credit bureaus must back up the information that they are reporting about you. Congress and the law agree. Whether the information in your client's credit report is accurate or not, credit bureaus are unable or unwilling to prove it. A credit bureau cannot send you a form letter stating that your report is accurate. Again, they must prove it. You have a right to appeal their findings. If your defense is presented properly, it is more difficult for credit bureaus to prove it than just deleting the disputed information. The credit repair section in this Credit Consultant Certification Training Manual helps you to put together your defense. If a credit bureau refuses to respond to your requests, you can hire an attorney to write a letter to enforce the law on your behalf. It's your right.